Yud Beis Cheshvan, Wednesday the 5th of November, Rabbi Eli Pick, The Mass Trap, Part 2.
Last time I was honored to speak here, I spoke about the mushel of the mousetrap. This was not my mushel parable, it was from a leading professor of science in the University of Pennsylvania, who explained how the complexity of the mousetrap is so detailed that if any one part of it is missing, or any one part of it is too big or too small, then it just cannot function. And we took from this mousetrap a kal vachomer, that if the mousetrap in its simplicity is really so irreducibly complex, then how much more so we must realize how complex the world is around us with the Nifloas Habore, with Hashem's creations. And that there are people who are so blind as not to recognize how Hashem has created the world in all its glory. And this professor, Michael Beher, not a Jewish fellow, though his name is interesting, Beher, because as Professor Vecht noticed, Ha'olam Nivra Behei, say Chazal. Behei, Beher, maybe there's some connection. So we spoke then about the amazing things to do with blood clotting, about the immune system, about the human eye. We won't deal with any of those today, but it was just to show how amazing Hashem's creations are. And after that shiur, I had an amazing audience that day, and people came up to me asking me questions, making observations. The feedback was so amazing that I thought, this warrants a part two. People would ask me, well, if that is what Emunah, is that the best way to achieve Emunah, to look at Hashem's creations? Are there other ways to achieve Emunah? I had one very searching question by a learned gentleman here who was saying to me, if you can explain Emunah, then why don't you tell us how Hashem got here? Well, let's deal with that straight away, shall we? Part three. We'll deal with that straight away. Rav Dessler said in this very town 75 years ago, he said, he quoted a Gra who brought down from a number of Svarim, including the Zohar, that when Hashem has put us in this world with free will, he did it in such a way that we're looking through the keyhole, as it were. We can't see everything. Because if we would be able to see everything, if we would be able to understand his reasons for everything, and to know where he came from, then we wouldn't have the Chira anymore. Everything would be so overpowering and overwhelming, we wouldn't have any choice, because it would be so obvious and clear-cut to us. There's a famous story about the Ramban, who asked a very amazing Eloi pupil of his, who was 18 years old, and Nebuch, the boy, was dying. And the Ramban said to him, when you go to Olam Emes, I want you to appear to me in a dream and explain to me why is it that such a wonderful Talmud Chacham, who's only 18 years old, should pass away. And he came to him in a dream afterwards. He said, Rebbe, here I am like you promised. And he said, no, what's the answer? He said, Rebbe, there is no question. I didn't want to embarrass my Rebbe by asking here. Everything here is so clear, everything here is so obvious. But as Rav Dessler explained, we can't do away with Bechira. But with that Bechira, with that free will, we can use our own human intellect to discuss the various issues. We know from last week's Sedra, from this week's Sedra, the story of Avraham Avinu, how he discovered nature, how he saw Hashem. He looked at the moon, he looked at the sun, he looked at the rhythm of day and night, and he realized that there is a creator. He studied the rain cycle, the clouds, the rain, he saw photosynthesis, how things grow, he saw the trees, he saw animal life, he saw human anatomy, and in all his amazement, he realized that Hashem is a creator, and the only creator. Some say he realized it at the age of 3, another view is that he saw it at the age of 48. Whatever it is, he was honest. And when people are honest, they see an intelligent design. But people continue to be blinded. There are big institutions which are aimed at deceiving us, at beguiling the unwary. We have like the National History Museum. We see that in the National History Museum with all their deceiving pictures. There was a tourist who once went in there and asked the guard, how old are those dinosaur bones over there? And the guard answered, they are 100 million and 4 years old. pardon, what do you mean 100 million and 4 years old? He said, well, they said they were 100 million years old when I started working here 4 years ago. So what scientists do is they rely on what's called radiocarbon dating. By carbon dating, we can establish that something is millions of years old. In fact, it happened once from some volcano lava in Hawaii, where the scientists were analysing it, and with carbon dating, they came to the conclusion that this lava was 3 billion years old, and only later discovered that it was from the year 1801, 200 years ago. But even if things are so old, even if you do find things which appear to be bigger, greater than 5,755 years old, what is the answer? And the simple answer is given in the Sefer Kol Ephraim on Koheles, and he says, Hashem created the world with age. When Hashem put a man in the world, he didn't put a baby in the world. There was a tree and there was not a sapling. Hashem created the world as a going concern. So it's not surprising that the earth might appear like millions of years old, because Hashem created mature trees, he created weathered rocks, he created meandering rivers, all of which take time to make. So there's no problem about age. We spoke last time about this professor, Michael Behar, and his realization and how he explained that everything is from some superintelligent source. But he's not a Das Yochid. There are many others in the non-Jewish world who have come out in support of him. For example, there's a professor, Anthony Flew, who lived from 1923 till 2010. He was a professor at Reading University, and for 50 years he proudly proclaimed that he is an atheist. He even wrote books about atheism. He was the mentor for the atheists. But then, when he was 50 years old, and DNA was discovered, and he looked at DNA, and he saw its extreme complexity, the genetic code, he announced, I've changed my mind. He said, to the horror of his followers, there must be a divine intelligence. And there's a similar scientist called Sir Fred Hoyle, who was a leading astronomer. He was a professor at Cambridge University. He died in the year 2001. At the age of 67, he woke up and said, I'm scoffing at this Big Bang theory. And he said a number of interesting comments. He said, if you've got common sense, a common sense interpretation of the facts, show a super intellect in physics, in chemistry, in biology, and that there are no blind forces worth speaking about in nature. The numbers one calculates in statistical probabilities are so overwhelming. He said, without being deflected by a fear of incurring wrath from others, one concludes that biomaterials with their amazing measure or order must be the outcome of intelligent design. He said that a living cell could be arrived at by chance is a nonsense of the highest order. And it's very interesting because every few years they do a survey of scientists about their religious beliefs. And it happened that they published these details, you know, they asked the chemists, they asked the physicists, they asked the doctors, they asked the astronomers, they asked the mathematicians, they asked them all about their beliefs. And every single time they've done this survey, the ones who have come out tops in their religious beliefs are the mathematicians. So I asked Professor Aaron Recht, why is this? Why is it that mathematicians always come out on top when it comes to religious belief? He said, it's quite simple. He said, they are the ones who realize what the statistical probabilities are. They are the ones who can recognize how amazing are the Nefloas HaBoreh and how impossible it is for things to happen by chance. And so there was this Professor Andy McIntosh, who was Professor of Thermodynamics at Leeds University, who wrote this letter, and he said, any serious thinker knows that the fossils include some of the most sophisticated eyes. He says, the non-evolutionary side of the argument rises not because of ignorance, but the rise in knowledge about the real facts. The logical coded machinery of DNA and the information system it carries shouts design to an unprejudiced mind. And it's very interesting because the Kofrim claim that they're the ones who got the intellect, they're the ones who got the human logic, and the religious people, they say, they just leap blindly into their faith. But in truth, it's the other way around. We are using here logic, we are using here common sense in reinforcing our religious beliefs, whereas they might be using their tivus and blinding themselves to reach the wrong conclusions. As we spoke about last time, it's the tivus of Olam Hazeh which can blind people. So we won't discuss many more aspects of Hashem's nature because we want to move on. But there's one example I would like to bring, and that is what I think are one of the most amazing inventions in modern technology. And that is GPS. Could you imagine sat-nav explaining it to your great-grandfather what it is, where you just follow the directions when you're driving, turn left, turn right, second on the left, second on the right. It's just amazing. But however amazing that is, it was discovered just 3 months ago how intricate there is a sat-nav system inside the bat. The bat which cannot see. It's been known for a long time that they send out ultrasound pulses to know what's going on around them, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to find their way around. But what was discovered at the University of Munich just this year in September, how bats have an internal navigation system. Besides emitting ultrasound pulses, measuring echoes, the neurons in brains measure distances from objects, and it's like a spatial map. And Dr. Uwe Ferslap said it's just like the navigation in cars. But he said what the bats have is more sophisticated than the sat-nav that we have in our cars. Because they have anything which warns them of an impending collision. We at least need to have our eyes and our common sense to know if we're about to have a car crash. The sat-nav won't help us. But the bats have all this inside them. This is the amazing thing about the Brio. So you might say to me, well, if Emuna is so logical, then what is the Nisoyon? What is the test? And the fact is that with human logic, there isn't really a Nisoyon. But what does the Torah say? V'lo sasuru acharei levavachem. Because it's people's hearts, it's people's emotions which allow them to lead themselves astray. And that's where the Bechira falls, because they are allowing their emotions to overcome them. So, nevertheless, there are dangers. However much you studied in a Floris Habore, you might stumble on the way. As we said earlier, you might come to the Natural History Museum and be deceived. So what is the remedy for this? Is this the only way of getting Emuna, or are there other ways? What is the alternative? David HaMelech said, Mikolos Maim Rabim Adirim Mishbrayom Adir Bamorim Hashem. Mikolos Maim Rabim. We're talking about the waters, how they fall from high to low, and the wonders of nature. You become exalted in the ways of Hashem, Adir Bamorim Hashem. That is one way of getting Emuna. But there is another way. Edo Secho Nem Numaod. When you look at Hashem's Eidos, the testimony, our experience as the Am Yisrael who saw Nisim Nigloim, who saw the Esemakus, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon, Ma'amad Har Sinai, these are experiences. Or as we just sat in the Sukkah a few weeks ago, L'mayim Yedu Derasechem, that we know because of the events which happened, and this was on a national scale, no other nation in the world can claim revelation like we can, where they just spoke about one individual who had some dream, who had some visions, that on a completely national scale, everybody was there, everybody could see it. And as the Kuzari explains, that is the yasod of our emunah, our experience. And even though we ourselves in this year might have not seen these Nisim Nigloim, because it's recorded so unchallenged in our history, nobody can challenge it now. That's why we sit on Seder night. We drink the 4 cups of wine. V'yigadu tol avincha. Tell the story. No big droshes, no big pilpul. Just tell a simple story about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is to reinforce our emunah. That is the Eidos. And so, as one person pointed out to me last time, he said, it doesn't say, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, Asher Bara Se'olam. When Hashem does tell us about Emunah, he doesn't say, the one who created the world. It says, who brought you out from the land of Egypt. Because that's where you had the Eidos, you saw the miracles, and that is Eidos Secho Nemnu Me'od. That is an even greater form of Emunah. But as we said, within the Floris Habore and with nature, there are pitfalls. And even with the Eidos, we find from the Chumash itself that there are pitfalls. Because straight after Kriyas Yamsuf, straight after the Shira, in Parshas Bashalach, what have you got? A couple of psukim later, Vayilonu. The people complained. They wanted food, they wanted water, they complained. They didn't have Emunah, they just saw what nobody else had ever seen in all human history. Nisim Nigloim, and they were losing their Emunah. So how can this be? And in Sefer Bamidbar, where we got the stories of the Meraglim, we got the Meimah River, we got Karach, we got Midian. What's the matter with this people? They have seen Nisim Nigloim. Apart from Avram Avinu's way of finding nature and Hashem, then you've got the Nisim Nigloim. They went off the Derech. So what is the remedy for this? There is a third way. And Reb Mendel of Kotsk, who is quoted by his grandson, the Shem Shmuel, the Sokotchover, he talks about the remedy, Talmud Torah. He says, when you sit down and you learn Torah, and you realize that every single small halacha you learn, whether it's the seed you sow in Shmita, or whether it's the hammer blow you do on Shabbos, or whether it's the meat and the milk, every single halacha which you learn is a manifestation of Hashem's will. And when you learn Torah properly, you acquire emunah. And you acquire an even greater emunah than any other method. So that's what he means. The safest derech, he says, where there are the least pitfalls, like we've been discussing, is Talmud Torah. And if one learns Torah properly, besimcha, or as the Egli Tal writes in his Akdomatir Sefer, where the simcha of Talmud Torah is so great that Torah becomes nivloin bedomo, it becomes absorbed in a person's blood. People who are osik b'Torah properly by day and by night, they don't have questions. They don't have to ask about paleontology and the fossils and the rocks. They've got emunah. That's how they achieve it. Whether it's learning about two people tugging away at a talus, or as we said, with something from Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Shmita, that is the way to get a good emunah. And there is a special effect, he says, if a person has anova, when a person then realizes what his role is in the world, and he's got the humility, that combined with his Talmud Torah gives him the way forward. And at the end of Sukkot, what did we have? We had Simchas Torah. So the Kotzker Rebbe says that we carry forward from us, from Sukkot, where we're protected by the shade from Yom Rishon Cheshbon Avonos, and then through to Simchas Torah, and that we carry forward now through the whole year. The shade of the Sukkah is like the shade we carry through of Tzel Kanofecho Tastireinu, or we say every day, Uferos Aleinu Sukkas Shalomecho. And that is the protection that we have all the time by Talmud Torah. And so he says, from the Pasuk in Shashim, Ki Tavim Daideich Miyoyin, there are a number of ways in which a person can reach Hashem. And we've spoken already now about them. Studying the Bria, the Eidus, with Talmud Torah. He says, every single way has a sakona. Yeno shel Torah is the best way. That way is bavada akavonis urus ava utavekus machasisponunus. Certainly, that when you've got this understanding and you delve properly, then you will find the right way forward. Even though we said, and the Rambam writes in Yeseda Torah, that studying the Bria leads one to avas Hashem, to yiras Hashem, nevertheless, as there are chayas roas velistim on the way, he says, Torah meshameres, the Torah protects. And emunah then is not just somebody who says, I believe. People think emunah means belief. When we say omein to a bracha, we say, I accept. And we say, v'yodato hayom, and you shall know today. And emunah isn't simply a question of saying, I believe. The robber, the burglar, he believes, he davens that he shouldn't get caught. That's belief. Is that emunah? Says Rabbi Yosef Albo in his Sefer Yekorim, it says in the Pasuk, Yan lohem manshem bi. When Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock instead of speaking to it, Hashem accused him, Yan lo he'em mantembi. You are lacking in some emunah. Emunah means doing. Doing what one has to do. So we spoke about the pitfalls. The pitfalls in studying the Bria, the pitfalls in the Eidus, Vayilonu. But unfortunately, there are even pitfalls when it comes to Talmud Torah. Because as we've seen, there are people who have gone off the derech. Elisha ben Avuya, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, he went off the Derech. He was a big Talmud Chochum. And in our own generation, there are people like Louis Jacobs, knowledgeable people who became Abikorsin. So what is it then, which is the remedy? to get the right emunah? Is it studying the Briah? Is it the Eidus? Is it Talmud Torah? Or is there any other way? How can one answer this question? So the Kotzvah Rebbe said, brought down in Sefer Lavas HaKodesh, he quotes from last week's parasha about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, it says, Vehemin Bashem, it's just before Shishi, Vehemin Bashem, Vayachsheveho lo tzedokah. So it doesn't just say that Avraham Avinu had emunah. It says, Vayachsheveho lo tzedokah. What does that mean? Vayachsheveho, and Avraham Avinu realized that this was a tzedakah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem was doing him a kind deed by enabling him. Hashem was feeding through. And he realized that his ability to have the intellect to reach Emunah was only as a result of the intellect which Hashem had given him. And without that, he wouldn't be anywhere. So he said, every single small movement that you do is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time I open my mouth that I'm able to speak is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or as one teacher of school said once, every time I open my mouth, an idiot starts to speak. So every time I do a small movement, that is a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when I realize that true emunah is just mirroring what Hashem is doing for us, and when Hashem is constantly feeding us, then we can reflect it. Just like in this room, there are loads of radio waves. You can't see them, but there are thousands and thousands of radio waves. So if you turn on a very good transistor radio, you'll pick up radio stations from all over the world, but you can't see them. And in the same way, Hashem is feeding waves through to us all the time, enablers. And those are giving us that ability, giving us that empowerment in order to serve Him. But without Hashem's help, we would not be able to do anything. So Hashem has a mechanism for this. Kesher tefillin, herona onov, Hashem leis tefillin, Chazal tell us. What does this mean? When we have our tefillin and our parshas, we've got the parshas of Emunah, Shema Yisrael, Lohayem Shemora, Kaddish Likol B'chor, which talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Voyaki V'yacho, Makas B'choros. That is to give us our Emunah. But in the Brachos, in Gemara Brachos Davov, it talks about Hashem laying tefillin. What does he write in his tefillin? Kimi goy godal, it starts off with, Umi ka'amcho Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, he's praising us. And then it writes, Kimi goy godal ashalo elokim kerovim elov, Umi goy godal ashalo chukim u'mishpatim. For what great nation is there so close to him, like Hashem our God, when we call on him, what great nation have the laws that I give you today? And then it writes in his tefillin, Ashrecha Yisrael nichamocha, am noisha b'Hashem. Hashem is your shield. Hashem is feeding us. Another parsha in Hashem's tefillin, Oh hanisoy elokim. So we say, b'masos, b'osos, v'mosim, v'mchom, v'yad chazoko. Has any God miraculously come to take for himself a nation from amidst another nation with challenges, signs, wonders, everything Hashem did before our eyes? But Yod Chazokov's Rana Tuyo, and then the Pasuk ends, Ein Od Milvado. There is nobody like him. And Hashem is feeding this through to us. Says the Nasivus in his Sefer on Agadata, it's called Emes Liyakov, he says, by Hashem putting on tefillin, he is sending through the empowerment to us, to enable us to serve him. It's an amazing idea. By his laying the tefillin, we are empowered. So the Kotzker Rebbe is saying that true emunah comes from realizing that Hashem is giving us something. And it's not enough just to have the seichel from looking at the Eidus, from looking at the Briah. And he quotes from Tehillim, Kuflov, Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim lo hiskilu niflo secho. Our forefathers in Egypt, they didn't have enough seichel to realize how great you are from the niflos. Lo zachris ro chasodecho, they didn't remember your kindnesses. V'yamru olav b'yamsuf. And they rebelled against you at Kriyas Yamsuf. That they forgot the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That true emunah comes from constant recognition and realization. And before we say the Shema, what are our words? Habocheh ba'amo Yisrael ba'ahavo. He has chosen us ba'avo. He's feeding it through to us, this avo, as we say on Shabbos. Ba'avo v'rotz on Shabbos kodshecho. Hashem says to us, shuv eilav v'shuv aleichem. In Malachi, the Kliyoka says, ein bikoach l'shuv techila. I haven't got the koyach. I haven't got the strength to do to Hashem what you ask. Elo atati ha-maskel. You have to start off. You have to initiate. Hashiveinu Hashem eilecho v'noshuva. First Hashem feeds us, then v'noshuva we can return to Him. Because He's giving us that empowerment. And there are really different kinds of emunah. The Midrash in Yeshua talks about four different personalities who had different stages of emunah. At bottom of the league was Yisro. Yisro said, Ati odati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. Now I know that God is the greatest God amongst all the other gods. Some emunah that is, but it was a madrega. And now I know that God is greater than all the other gods, but he was still accepting that there are other gods. Says the Midrash, the next stage up was Naaman. Naaman, who dipped in the Yarden to cure himself of tzaras at the advice of Elisha, he said, now I know, Ein Elokim b'chol ha'aretz ki'im b'Yisrael. There is no God other than the God of the Jews. But then a further notch up the ladder is Rochav. In the story of Yahushua, who looked after the spies, he said, now I know there is a Hashem, Bashamayim mima'al, la'aloretz mitochas. That was an even greater form of emunah. But the top category of emunah was Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, Bashamayim mima'al. Yeah, we started with Yisro, then we went to Naaman, then we went to Rochav. Top of the league is Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, Bashamayim mima'al, la'aloretz mitochas, ein od. There is absolutely nobody else. But Hashem is doing this feeding. Nobody else is feeding us and nurturing us and enabling us. As we say in Tehillim Yud Gimel, Oshiru Hashem ki gomal oloi. I sing to Hashem because He has been merciful to me. It's His power. But He makes me feel as though it's my power. He makes me feel as though I am achieving when I manage to write a letter. It makes me feel as though it's my ability, but it's Hashem who's feeding me. So what the Kotzker Rebbe is saying is that anything that you do, whether it's learning a Daf Gemara, whether it's writing a report, whether it's driving a car, Hashem is enabling us. If you're a dentist and putting in a dental implant at the right angle, if you're cooking a meal, if you're cutting cloth to measure in your warehouse, everything which you do is with Seichel, Hashem is feeding that through to us. And what greater example is there about this than the story of Chanoch? Chanoch, the seventh generation Chanoch. The Midrash Talpios talks about him. His profession was that of a shoemaker. And every single stitch that he did in making the shoes, he blessed Hashem. He said, Boruch, Shem, Kavod, Machosol, Elongoed, after every single stitch he made on the shoe, because he realized that the only way he had the ability to make that stitch in the shoe was because Hashem was feeding through to him the ability. The waves were coming through. And with that recognition, one reaches the prime form of emunah, says the Kotzker Rebbe. More so than even the Flos Habore, more so than any of the other methods we discussed, by realizing that Hashem is feeding through to us. And that is what is meant by the posuk, Ve'emin b'Hashem ve'achshaveh lo tzedaka. And we find this with the Mishkan. Hashem elei sivruach chochmo. How did Bezalel get the ability to do it? Because it was fed to him by Hashem. Or as we say in Parshas Kisiso, Va'amale ose ruach elokim b'chochmo, uvisvuno, uvedas, uvchol malocha, lachshev machshavos, to make calculations. Uvelev kochacham lev, nosasi chochmo. That every single act which any human being can do is purely as a result of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've come a long way since the mousetrap, the simple moshul about complexity. The mousetrap, we said, is irreducibly complex. There is no way it could function if any one small part is missing. There are countless, numerous, amazing numbers of things we can look at in the Floris Abore to realise that there are things far more complex, far more intelligent than the mousetrap. But if you would land on the moon and find a mousetrap, you will know that somebody was there. If you find an empty bottle of whiskey, you will know that somebody was there. That is what Emunah is about. Yudia, you know, v'yodata hayom. But it's not enough. You need to realize v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. And we say in this week's parsha, how do we start? V'yera lo v'ashem beloni mamre. And we spoke about David HaMelech's different kinds of emunah, remember? Mikolos ma'amrim rabbi madiri mishpura yom adibar ma'ashem. That is an amazing form of emunah. Then we said, Edo Secho, Nernu Meod, even greater emunah comes from Edo Secho. But Avraham Avinu didn't have these luxuries of seeing this in the Gloim. He didn't see Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon, the Ma'amad Har Sinai. He didn't yet have Talmud Torah until later, after he reached his emunah. He didn't have these luxuries. All he had, he could see the Niflos HaBore. Hashem could appear to him with Mikolos Maim Rabbi Madiri Mishbrayom. And that is the Rosh HaTevus from this week's Parsha. How did Hashem appear to Avraham Avinu for his emunah? Vayero Elov Hashem, Be'ilone Mamre. Mamre Rosh HaTevus, Mikolos Maim Rabbi Madiri. Thank you very much.